hear the sound of a mighty rushing wave.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children." Yeah, and at the midnight cry, we'll be good.
Hey, Bob, you want to turn down the stereo?
Very good evening to all listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. This is Eben. Tonight, I'm in the studio alone with MBY, my producer. And Brother Yao is in Accra. He will be joining us via phone. These days, he's been very busy and active, but it's for the purpose of the mission, God's work. Okay, we thank God for the first Saturday of July, 4th July, it is. And this program comes every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. And Eben, as I said, I'll first go through some of the news happening in the course of the week. Indeed, this world is turning into something else. If you've been watching the news, the foreign news especially, not our local games we play here in Ghana News there. Sometimes I just look at it just to entertain myself. But if you are looking at things really happening, the foreign ones really gives you a better view of the world. And things aren't getting any better. The Bible is being fulfilled gradually at a fast rate. No generation has... You know, today I saw a phrase. Let me just read that phrase. It's... I just like the way they put it. In a single generation, they see all end-time signs. Like they see end-time signs. Every generation has seen signs of the end times. Earthquakes, famines, wars, rumors of wars. But the final generation will experience every sign. And that is already happening in our time. The things we are seeing, no generation has seen a quarter of it. No generation has seen a quarter of what we are seeing. But we are not even there yet. A lot more is ahead of us. More things are coming. The church facing the persecution and all that. Being hated of, hated in every nation. These are all the words of Jesus. So these are all things that are coming. And we have to brace ourselves for it. Today there's a file I want to play. Those on my broadcast list, I shared it earlier in the week. Some of them might have watched it. But the content is very important because the Lord had already told me parts of what the man saw. And clearly it's a warning for all of us. And I'll be getting into it in the course of the program. Because, you see, if we don't prepare, we would really, really be caught unawares with what is ahead of us. Let me read this statement by Adolf Hitler. It says, "The best way to take control over a people and control them utterly is to make a little of their is to take a little of their freedom at a time, to erode rights by thousand tiny and almost imperceptible reductions. In this way, the people will not see those rights and freedoms being removed until past the point at which these changes cannot be reversed. Adolf Hitler. And, you know, if you look at the trend of what is happening, even Ghana here, the church, the body of Christ, I've always been saying the coronavirus came, but it's acting like a multi-purpose vehicle. They are using it to do a whole lot of things. Worldwide, churches are losing their freedoms a little at a time. And that's one of the strategies of the globalists. And that's what Adolf Hitler is saying here. You see, you don't say stop going to church completely. That one, everybody will be so like aware, and it's like, no. But a little at a time. Your freedoms are reduced a little at a time. So in the name of, and there should always be a reason to do these things. So they will definitely find a reason for it. And that's what we are seeing. And, you know, various parts of the world, churches are, you know, they allow, I mean, other things to happen. But for the church, it's like, that's for you, you can't go. And some have taken it to court in other places, questioning why the government is restricting them and all that. But see, all these things are planned. And all these things are happening because it has to happen. Okay, you know, and, you know, I mean, the church in Ghana has to wake up because, you know, you look at all that is happening. The church, you go to church 1 hour and do your service. And, you know, other things, other people can do whatever they want to do. But the church now finds herself in a position where few are talking about it. And I believe it's time the body of Christ, the leadership, the GPCC, Christian Council, to also come out and speak for the voices of the pastors who are in prison or were imprisoned, fined and imprisoned because of violating the restrictions law. Because per what we are seeing or we've seen in the last few days in this country, those pastors have not been treated fairly. And I believe the body of Christ should speak out against this injustice, because if some would, I mean, a pastor who has no coronavirus meets a few believers who are also not infected to have a meeting, and he warrants going to prison, and then someone else who is infected and goes out into public can be free, then clearly we are not being, the body of Christ is not being treated fairly. Those pastors have not been treated fairly. And I believe pastors should talk about this. The leadership should talk for them, because it's as if, oh, well, it's some people. They are the ones who have been stubborn or whatever. But we should act together as the body of Christ. Some of these things, if we have one voice, the leadership speaks to it. Clearly, pressure can be put to bear on the leadership of the country to free these people, because what offense have they committed in the first place? I mean, compared to what others are doing, what offense? What's so serious about what they've done compared to what the worst that others are doing and are just walking around freely? So, well, let's get into some of the news. We have flu virus with pandemic potential. That's what the news says. Found in China. And this is a new strain of flu that has the potential to become a pandemic, has been identified in China by scientists. It emerged recently and is carried by pigs, but can infect humans, they say. The researchers are concerned it could mutate further so that it can spread easily from person to person and trigger a global outbreak. While it is not an immediate problem, they say it has all the hallmarks of being highly adapted to infect humans and needs close monitoring. As it's new, people could have little or no immunity to the virus, the scientists write in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. That measures to control the virus in pigs and the close monitoring of swine industry workers should be swiftly implemented. Okay, this one, they've seen it early. They should stop it too. before we have another round, a round two of something else. Then, University of Tennessee makes COVID-19 vaccine shot mandatory for students when it becomes available. Already, the University of Tennessee has become the first one to require students and faculty to require vaccines, receive vaccines for the flu and the COVID-19 that is yet to be developed, sparking pushback from critics. The mandate was pushed through as an emergency rule by the university's board of trustees, with the promise that it will soon become a permanent requirement. Quote, there may be some pushback, but we believe this is in the best interest of our students, unquote, UT System President Randy Boyd said. There are many medical and religious exemptions from the rule, and students who only take online classes do not need to meet the requirements. But you see, that's how it starts, a little at a time. So you have one university saying it's compulsory. Then soon another. Then the offices, the banks, the institutions. You see, the thing is a gradual agenda. Australia begins massive military build-up as conflict with communist China grows over pandemic. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison, announced this week that Australia will spend hundreds of billions of dollars to significantly ramp up its military capabilities as it faces increasing threats from communist China amid fallout from the coronavirus pandemic. The announcement comes after the Chinese Communist Party reportedly threatened Australia for pushing for an investigation into the origins of coronavirus pandemic, which originated in China. China's attempts to pressure Australia to drop the request for an investigation into the origins of the outbreak only strengthened Australia's resolve against China, as Australia later came out and backed an initiative to have Taiwan rejoin the WHO. Then, yeah, Vatican summons Israeli and U.S. ambassadors to express concern over sovereignty. In a highly unusual move, Vatican summons both U.S. and Israeli ambassadors to express concern. The Vatican, they had a meeting regarding Judea and Samaria that Israel is seeking to extend its sovereignty over parts of these places, according to the Reuters report. The Vatican statement said meetings with Cardinal Pietro Parolin, the Vatican Secretary of State, and the U.S. Ambassador Calista Gingrich and Israeli Ambassador Oren David took place on Tuesday. No, Israel is planning seriously. They've planned, actually. I mean, according to the coalition agreement between Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and alternate Prime Minister Benny Gantz, the sovereignty move could have taken place on Wednesday, but no agreement has yet been reached with Washington yet on the modalities of the move under the peace proposal announced by U.S. President Donald Trump in January. The Vatican statement reiterated its position in support of a two-state solution, saying Israel and the state of Palestine have the right to exist and to live in peace and security within internationally recognized borders. Peace and security. Okay. The Vatican appealed to Israelis and Palestinians to do whatever possible, everything possible to reopen the process of direct negotiations on the basis of UN resolutions. Israelis are the enemy. Muslims should fight them, according to Malaysian former Prime Minister. Former Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad called for Muslims to attack Israelis during an interview on Lebanese TV. He said Muslims should stop fighting amongst themselves or attacking the West and should focus on the enemy, Israel, according to the former prime minister. in an English language interview on Lebanon's Al Mayadeen TV, aired on June 29th, captured by the Middle East Research Media Research Institute's Memory. Mahathir said that Muslim infighting was helping Israel and her allies. Quote, "I know there are big powers that would like to see instability in Muslim countries," unquote, he said. And then, quote again, "We are doing things almost like helping Israel because we fight each other. And the Israelis don't have to kill Muslims. Muslims are doing it for them," unquote. Instead, he said, "Muslims should turn their attention on Israel itself, which he falsely claimed was created through the displacement of Palestinian state by Western powers to rid themselves of Jews." The hatred is serious. So then, you know, for those who have been following the news, you have this Black Lives Matter demonstrations going on in the US and all the, some places, Europe and all. And, you know, it started with the killing of George Floyd, and the demonstrations have been going on and on and on. Now they started making some extra demands about, you know, Jesus is not white and Jesus is black and all these, I mean, absurd statements. Now we have a church in the U.S. saying St. Albans Cathedral will replace traditional nativity scene. Nativity scene is the that's featuring Virgin Mary with painting of the Last Supper, featuring a black Jesus in solidarity with Black Lives Matter. The painting of the Last Supper featuring the black Jesus will replace the nativity scene at the cathedral to show solidarity with the Black Lives Matter. You know, the worrying thing is this trend. This week we had the Justin Welby, that's the Archbishop of Canterbury, the head of the Anglican Church, also saying that it's time to reconsider the portrayal of Christ as white. I mean, paintings of Jesus, I mean, are not him in the first place. So why are we, why, no, we, I'm not part anyway. Why do some people want to make it a fact that the color of Jesus is important? I mean, let's be serious about this. If you've experienced the transforming power of Christ, the last thing that will come on your mind is who the color of, what is the color of Jesus? For what? If you've accepted Christ and Christ is in you and you've indeed experienced him. We are talking about spiritual things here. So who cares about the color of Jesus? But they want to narrow this to this irrelevant discussion. And so you have Christians who are wasting time on, I mean, I remember a secondary school platform. I mean, eventually left the platform 2 weeks or so ago because of this issue. Because it's like, I mean, it's becoming so rampant and they are holding on to this belief. So if, even if you say the right thing, it's like, hey, they gang up on you. And it's like, no, no, that's me. I don't have time for these things. I just moved out. Because we, and it's amazing. People say they are Christians, but they fall for these, let me put it this way, useless topics. The color of Jesus. And people are arguing about it. What has it got to do with your salvation? What has it got to do with you going to heaven? What has it got to do with the God you serve, the Jesus you believed in? The color doesn't matter in the first place. And besides, the paintings you see, that is not him. So why should we waste our time talking and thinking about this to the point where now you've had some churches who are starting to talk about this? Because to me, I mean, clearly, there is no focus. If you are, you have, you are focused, you know, waste time on this. Then to California, the governor now forbids Christians from singing in church. You see, the thing I started reading about Hitler earlier, that's the same thing happening. It starts a little at a time. A little at a time. When they are taking your freedoms away. Golden State Christians, that's California, I mean, it's called the Golden State, have been ordered by California's governor to stop singing in church. This is a direct assault on the First Amendment. Californians are still free to attend their church, but they are forbidden from singing or chanting. Leading, that's the lead paragraph in a story published by the Sacramento Bee. The new guidelines for places of worship was issued on 1st July. Quote, "discontinue singing," into brackets, "in rehearsals, services, etc. Then chanting, and other practices and performances where there is increased likelihood of transmission from contaminated exhaled droplets. Consider practicing these activities through alternative methods such as internet streaming that ensure individual congregation members perform these activities separately in their own homes. The 14-page order reads, the previous guidelines only encourage churches to strongly consider ending corporate worship. That was the earlier guideline. But now they bring in this. Dr. Paul Chappell, the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, a mega church north of Los Angeles, told the Todd Stans show that his congregation plans on singing even louder. Says, first, the state told us when to worship. Now, they are telling us how to worship, he said. We have been patient and safe, even wearing masks. Our church will sing to the Lord on Sunday. The heavens declare his glory, and so will we. Okay, last two items, and I'm done for the news. Largest... largest Lutheran denomination in the U.S. promotes LGBTQIA+. This is the first time I'm seeing this one. Inclusion in church life. So the Evangelical Church, Lutheran Church of America, ELCA, the largest Lutheran denomination in the U.S., distributed a new guide on LGBTQIA+ issues, arguing that the Bible supports the inclusion of all people in all spheres of the church. The ELCA was founded in 1988 when three historic Lutheran bodies merged. It has 3.4 million members, and around 1.4% of the U.S. population self-identifies with it, according to a Pew research. The guide advocates for the full welcome, inclusion, and equity of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, and asexual and aromatic Lutherans in all aspects of the life of the church, congregations, and community. Some pushed back at the ECLA's tweet, with one follower writing, I'm so ashamed my church gives in to this nonsense. And another lamenting says, you apostates are not Lutheran. Please drop that name from the title of your satanic organization. You know, it's very unfortunate because this week there was one U.S. Author, supposed Christian author, who revealed her daughter as lesbian, and she was happy about it. And you know, you read, let me just a portion of it to see how serious this generation is regarding the falling away. She's called Heartmaker. Heartmaker also told Sydney, that's the daughter, at the end of the episode of their podcast, we are so proud of who you are. I would not change one molecule of you, not one. I'm so glad you are gay. I'm so proud that you are free. I love that that is how you are made. I'm thrilled about your future. How can you be thrilled about a future if not repented of, goes to hell? And you're a Christian mother. I have already told you the kind of wife I need you to marry. And I hope you follow my rules. So just imagine this. A Christian mother, a Christian author, mother, prescribing the type of wife she expects for her daughter. And she's proud about it. Saying it in the media. Happy about it. And you see a picture of them smiling. And you know, God have mercy. It's serious. When asked what she wishes pastors and churches knew, Sydney said that the faith of youth lies in their hands and what they say matters. She mentioned a pastor who came to the conclusion that homosexuality was a sin. Of course, it's a sin. And that it destroyed her and made her feel like God didn't love her, sending her into panic attack. So you see, when a pastor told her the truth, look at how she's describing the issue. He says, we hear you. We are reading what you are writing. We are in your pews. We might be your kids, and that's what happens. It's so real, according to that Sydney, that the lady, the girl saying. Her mother agreed, claiming that it is irresponsible for pastors to break hearts of youth who have homosexual feelings. It's not enough, Christians, to say, well, we love you anyway. I don't want to be loved anyway, said a hitmaker who came out in support of homosexuality in 2016. She opined that organized religion is an unsafe place for homosexuals and that allies are needed in religious communities. So you see, if a mother is happy and defends her 12-year-old daughter like this, 12 years. You know, I mean, I looked at it then and it's like, you know, this generation, I think Sodom and Gomorrah, they were just playing, because this generation is doing a whole lot more. And this one is a last news item, but a warning to parents as well. Disney and Nickelodeon channels promote LGBTQ agenda to kids. Airing Pride, you know, June is the gay pride, or was the gay pride, you know. So they were airing Pride adverts for the first time. You know, before I proceed with the news, these two channels are in Ghana. We have them here on some of the decoders. And I know people who, by virtue of their love for European soccer, have bought these channels or these decoders so they can watch, the fathers can watch these European matches. By virtue of this, the children have access to these channels at home as well. Dear parents, don't follow your love for football and let your child miss heaven. Because, you see, when you are not at home, and most parents are not even putting parental lock on, ideally, I mean, Disney and Nickelodeon are children channels, so you don't even put parental lock on them. So technically, it's a children's channel. But now they are showing things which are not meant for children. They've designed it for children, but I are not meant to be for children. So parents are making this mistake and causing a lot of harm to their children by virtue of the fact that, oh, these are children's channels. I remember a few years ago, 3 years or so ago, I visited a friend and Nickelodeon was, their children were watching Nickelodeon, and, you know, I told her, this channel is not good. But you see, when you say these things, like, I mean, cartoons, children, what's wrong with it, you know? And a lot of parents are so ignorant about these things. A lot of parents are very ignorant. I mean, thank God we treated this last year, the digital parenting, you know, we had about a series discussing these things. But most parents are very ignorant. So they think, you know, when you say certain things, they think you're extreme. Oh, I mean, maybe you are taking things too far. Because they don't know the things we talk about. They have no idea at all. When you mention these things, they don't even understand them. You see, so the ignorance they walk in makes them allow their children to watch anything, thinking it's a children's safe place, you know. But that's not the case. We are having a very dangerous type of media these days. So June was the LGBTQ Pride Month. And for the first time, Disney Channel and Nickelodeon aired adverts supporting LGBTQ agenda to their audience of children. Disney has made headlines for promoting LGBTQ elements in programming in the past few years, and Disney even brought an LGBTQ Pride event to Disneyland Paris for the first time in its history last year. But the company had previously limited his type of Pride Month ad to its social media platforms, according to Christian Headlines. During June, the Disney Channel itself aired a Pride advert featuring Raven and Simon, who is lesbian. Okay, Raven Simon never says the word gay in the advert, focusing instead on coming together with all walks of life. Coming together with all walks of life. We are one. The agenda is also part of it. We are in a new age. We are in a new age where it's not just black and white anymore. We are one. It's all part of this agenda we talk about. Simon says in the ad, we have purple, red, and entire rainbow. Everyone wants to be treated with respect, and it's beautiful. I love being able to come together with all walks of life, all ages, all colors, and celebrating the unity of being our authentic selves. Pride to me is strength. Pride is selfless. Pride is friends. Pride is friends and family. Pride is you. Throughout the month, Nickelodeon was more explicit, featuring various homosexual and lesbian artists. Christian Headlines reports one such artist highlighted by Nickelodeon was Amandla Stenberg. That advert was aired on Sunday during the broadcast of the Loud House TV Y7 program. Quote, we celebrate the activism of Amandla Stenberg, a narrator of the ad says. Amandla is an actress, artist, and activist who starred in the Hunger Games when she was 13 years old. She came out proudly as gay in 2018, and in an interview with Teen Vogue, Amandla said, I cannot stress enough how important representation is. So the concept that I can provide that for other black girls is mind-blowing. The narrator concludes the ad by saying, we still have a long way to go, but powerful voices like Amandla are helping us become prouder together. Comments about adverts on social media were mixed, ranging from outright approval to others saying no more Nickelodeon in their house, and such adverts about sexual orientation did not belong on the children's network. And I believe if you are also a parent listening to this program, having Nickelodeon on your decoder, let it be a no-go area for your house as well. Let it be a no-go area for your house as well. You know, you see that the danger is if you don't let your children understand the danger involved in these things, you will go to work, they will be at home and have access to watch, and they will think it's nothing. See, and some of these things we talk about are just 30 seconds, some just 60 minutes, 1 minute. So, you see, these are subtle, subliminal, pulses being pushed into the brain of your child. They don't do it in a long sequence. No, short, 30 seconds, 60 seconds. Then normal programming continues. Then short one, 30 seconds, 60 seconds. You see, but that's the power of the brain. And by the way, you see, these are also demonic things as Christians. Let's say it as it is. It's a demonic activity. So the adverts that they push are also demonic. They are, and all. But Christians, let's be careful. I'll be back after this short interlude. Follow Christ.
The 12 of you walked on the earth together. Father was a brother to you all. The teaching that you heard was the living word. The wonders and the miracles you saw. There were times of awesome inspiration. There were times you didn't understand. When he had to go and you felt alone, it must have been so hard to see his plan. I think about the way you carried on in the face of persecution, you stood strong. So I will follow Christ. I will run the race, fighting the good fight, standing on my faith. I will.
don't have to look across the ages. His voice is speaking in my heart today. His word is like a flame, consuming all my shame. His life a shining star to show the way. Run the race, fighting the good fight, standing on my faith. I will wear the name of Jesus, I will give him all my life. As for me, no matter what the sacrifice, yes, I will follow.
Quick, get in here. He's almost here.
Who's almost here?
You said you were having problems. I made an appointment with someone who can help you.
Really? So who is it?
God.
You made an appointment to talk with God?
Yes. Oh, he's here. Quick, go. Go, go, go. Come on, say something.
You don't need an appointment to talk to God.
We don't have much time. Tell him your problems.
Bob, I can talk to God anytime.
Come on, you only have a few seconds. We can talk about this later.
This is silly.
Oh! He's gone.
He's not gone. God is always around.
Okay. So have you talked to God about your problems?
Well, no.
Frank, if you believe God is always ready to listen, then how come you haven't talked to him?
Well, I've been busy.
That's why I made an appointment for you.
I don't need an appointment. I can talk to God anytime.
But Frank, you never do.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Are you taking God's presence for granted? A message from Lifeline Productions, 1-800-52-FUNNY, at lifelinepro.com.
Hi there. My name's Dana Coverstone, and I pastor Living Word Ministries, Assembly of God Church in Berksville, Kentucky. We're 12 miles north of Tennessee line. I've been a pastor for almost 30 years. Been at this church almost 10, be 10 years this October. Been in three different places in ministry in that 30 years, averaging about 10 years, 10 years. Each place. But the reason for this video right now is I had another dream last night. I posted three that I'd had earlier this week, and I've been absolutely overwhelmed. Almost 11,000 people have watched that. I had no clue it would go that far. I was just trying to say something to our people here locally and those that knew me. But I do believe God has spoken to me and showed me through some dreams some things that are coming. The one I had last night, I got up somewhere in the neighborhood of 3:30, 3:35, and just got my iPhone out and made notes as fast as I could. I do believe that this is something that we're on the precipice of, and perhaps has even started, and it deals with persecution of the church that's coming. And there was a surprising twist for me in it, and I want to share this. I don't want to keep doing dreams all the time. I'd rather not have the dreams I've had because there's a lot of responsibility with them. And one of the consequences of dreams, just like Daniel got sick. He was tired. He was exhausted. These things have played with my mind all this week. All day long, all I can think about is what I saw and heard last night. I work part-time at the local hospital, so I had to be at work at 5:30 this morning. Just got off about 2. So I wanted to get this on video format so I can share it tomorrow and put it on our YouTube channel as well. Look, I've never pastored a church larger than 150 people. I've never made a whole lot of money ever as a pastor. And I mostly pastored in rural communities. Terre Haute was the largest city I ever pastored in. Our county has about 7,200 people. I grew up in a town of about 1,500 in Jasonville, Indiana. So I don't have a whole lot of big city connections or things like that, and that's not what this is about either. God has given me dreams that I believe are warnings, and this one specifically is for the church. I don't have a time frame on this one, but I'm gonna just tell you what I experienced, and then you can once again with a video I showed the other day. You can judge anything you want about this because I'm not trying to make money. I'm not trying to get connections. I'm not trying to get more followers or people to be on Facebook friends. I know I've heard from the Lord. I know what his voice sounds like. I know when I have dreams that are from him. And I know this was from him. So in the dream, I was standing over a field or looking down on a valley, and there was a large field. And there was a bunch of wolves in this field. And I'm looking at notes off of my phone on my computer so I can make sure I get all the valid points in that I need to make. All these wolves were in this field, and they were asleep. And there were hundreds, perhaps even thousands of wolves, all dark gray, not black, but just dark gray and menacing wolves. And they were all sleeping, and they were nuzzling each other and just kind of laying around and no movement at all. And suddenly, somebody on a very dark figure began running into the middle of all those wolves, and began to whip all those wolves. And the wolves began to wake up, and they were shrieking and making horrible noises because they were waking up to being hurt. And as I watched, the person with the whip just kept whipping them, and he kept basically stirring them into a frenzy. He wasn't beating them on purpose. He was beating them into a frenzy. He was making them mad. He was infuriating them. He was trying to get them stirred up. And he kept whipping, and every single animal, every single wolf that was in that area had been hit by the man, but they weren't hurting him. They showed some respect of him. They showed some fear of him. Obviously, he was like a master. And so as he kept whipping these wolves, the wolves finally kind of cowered down, and he stopped. And he pointed his finger, and he turned around, almost like if I were to put my finger, he just spun in a circle, and he said, "Go to the cities." And those wolves took off in every single direction possible, howling, 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 top of their lungs, taking off. And the sky is dark. I don't remember if I saw a moon. I just know it was a dark night, a dark sky, a dark figure, dark wolves, and now they're being set loose. And these things are being sent to the cities after being whipped and beaten by whoever it was that was, stirring them up. So next scene changes, and I'm standing in front of almost like a video screen of hundreds of TV sets or just hundreds of computer screens. And I'm watching men and women of God, pastors, of black, white, Asian, Indian, all around the world. And I saw myself, and we're all preaching the gospel. And each one of us is sweating. And there's almost like steam coming off of our heads that shows just the impact of what we're trying to make. And we're preaching hard, and we're teaching hard, and we're teaching biblical principles and dealing with some of the major issues and things like that in culture. But we're calling people to righteousness and holiness and to give up ungodly things that are part of their lives. And as I'm doing this, and as I'm preaching, and I'm watching all these other men and women preach, I see people in the chairs, in the pews, in the seats, And some are looking at their watches, and some are yawning, and some have their heads on the back of the chair of the pew, and they're asleep. Others are just, you can tell, uncomfortable. They don't want to be there. I see people walking out the back doors. But compared to that, I also see, at the front of the church, I see a handful. And I'm going to call it a core. I will not use the word remnant, because when I think of the word remnant, I think of that applying specifically to the Jewish people. But there was a small core group in every church I saw where the gospel was being preached, a small core group of people who were emphatically listening, emphatically supporting their pastors, who were preaching, who were supporting the doctrine, the teaching, the ideas that were coming out from these men and women of God. And they were kneeling in prayer, and they were praying, and they were supportive. But they weren't necessarily unaware of what was going on around them, but they knew there were people that weren't paying attention. And I could see that they were also praying for those in the chairs behind them who weren't listening. And all of the ones that weren't listening were behind those who were at the altar. There were some at the altar. There were some in the front, you know, the front couple chairs and rows and pews. But for the most part, there was a gap between those that were really listening and paying attention and those that weren't. And suddenly, in the midst of all this preaching and the people being sweaty from the intensity of the message they were preaching, suddenly the howling of wolves lands outside, and you suddenly hear scratching at the door, like a dog trying to get in or a dog trying to get out. And at that moment, the people who were up front, close to the pastor and close to the altar, began to turn around, and they were aware that something was at the door, and they began to intensely pray. Just intensively pray and aggressively pray against the enemy, against the spirit that was at the door. And suddenly the door didn't burst open, but the wolves just began to come in. And they began to walk around. They walked up and sniffed some of the people who were just listening. And the people who weren't listening at all really had no idea that they were there at all. Now, when the wolves came in, one key aspect, I don't know if I said it or not, all of these wolves had red eyes. When they woke up and were being stirred into fury, they had ravenous red eyes, almost like a red LED light. It shone out. It was like when you take a picture of an animal or someone and the red in their eyes shows up. It was that kind of thing. And before they were, you know, when they were being stirred up and whipped by that black leader, character, master figure, those eyes began to glow and get brighter and brighter. So when they were set loose and go into the cities, what he said, their eyes were just flaming. So now these animals come into the churches, but their eyes aren't red. They're just black and compliant. They're looking around, they're watching, and they go and they sit. Every single person in the church that I was preaching in. And look, I did not recognize some of the people in my church. I recognized some of them. I also recognized the ones who were at the very front, the core group who were praying and seeking God's face and listening and being supportive of what was being said. And once again, I saw hundreds of faces. So I know I'm not the only preacher who's preaching the kind of things that I preach and dealing with issues I deal with. I'm not the only one who is saying, hey, these things are sin. These things can't be a part of our lives. I'm not the only one. There were hundreds of faces that I saw. But the wolves came up and sat down in the chairs, in the pews, right beside the people who were not listening. And even those people didn't really understand that there was a wolf beside them. There was no fear, no worry, no concern, nothing like that at all. And it was almost as if they didn't even realize they were there. But then the more and the louder that I preached, and the more intensely I preached, and the more I dealt with issues and things that were sin, obviously, in our world and in the Bible, these people began to stir. And all of a sudden, the wolves' eyes became red and redder and redder. And as the people got irritated, the wolves began to growl. And when they would begin to growl, the people who weren't listening were saying, shut up. Stop saying that. I don't want to hear that. They were very, very aggressive words like, stop saying those things. And in my message, in my head, I kept preaching, I kept preaching, I kept preaching. And on the screens that I'm seeing in my head, all these people just kept preaching and preaching and preaching. Finally, the people who aren't listening that are now listening are saying, shut up and stop. The wolves are—they're like wrestling beside. They're nudging them. They're getting them worked up too. So the enemy works these wolves up. The wolves come in. They stir up the people. And now the wolves start coming up towards me. And on the screens I'm seeing, those wolves are coming up near other pastors, other preachers, other men and women of God who are trying to say, "Don't do this and stop doing this." And this is the way, you know. Jesus said the way was narrow and the gate was very small to get in. So we were preaching that kind of a message. And as we're preaching that, those wolves are coming up and they start nipping at my leg. And they're starting to try to bite some of the people that I'm watching on screen. And they're growling and they're getting right up in our face. Or one jumps up on the pulpit, gets right in my face and is growling. I can see the saliva dripping off of his teeth. And I'm trying to push him off the screen and he bites my arm. And he's grabbing my legs. And I'm watching some of my people that I know. That are preachers and are pastors and share the same heart for ministry and preaching that I do. I see them, some of these wolves are taking them down to the ground and they're growling and we just keep preaching. And they keep biting and they just keep biting and they just keep attacking us. And the louder we get, the louder the wolves howl. And the people at the altar, they're praying. And they're praying for safety and they're praying for protection. Now, I'm just going to tell you, the wolves weren't necessarily attacking the people that were praying. They were stirring up the people who weren't listening, and they were attacking the preachers, the pastors, those of us that were trying to preach the message that God had given us. And the intensity in that moment was profound for me. And even in the message, as I'm preaching, I'm trying to kick a wolf here and this and so, and it was no way. We just kept we were being overwhelmed and attacked. And people are getting up and they're leaving. I'm talking to people who weren't listening. They're getting up and they're leaving and they're slamming the doors and they're just making a big scene. We're not coming back. You won't show up. We're done hearing this. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. And they leave. And suddenly, the scene changed. And I saw courtrooms. And I saw judges with gavels pounding, just pounding, pounding at the bench. I saw pastors in chains. I had shackles on myself. I see people in the jury seats and the witness stand, and they're crying. And the judges are saying, you can no longer preach this message. You can no longer declare that this type of lifestyle is sin. You cannot say anything bad about this kind of lifestyle. You cannot say anything bad about this situation. You cannot address these things from the pulpit ever again. You cannot say this. You cannot say that. You cannot say that Jesus is the only way. That's one specific thing I remember. You cannot say that abortion is a sin. That I remember as well. You cannot deal with alternative lifestyles and call them awful, terrible things. You can't say that these things violate Scripture. You can no longer preach from Scripture was one obvious thing that was stated and said. And most of us that were in there were saying, we can't do that. We can't do that. And the gavel comes down in anger, and they're mad, they're mad, they're mad. And then I saw churches surrounded by mobs of people. People that were yelling to shut it down, even burn it down. I saw people who were being so hateful towards the church. I saw people harassing believers who were going into church services. I saw people waiting outside after church to harass people who were coming from church to go home. I saw just hateful attitudes. But the thing that stood out in my mind, most of the people in those crowds were the people who'd been sitting in those chairs and those pews and were not listening to begin with. And in that moment, it struck me, even in the dream, that some of the biggest persecutions the church is going to face coming very, very soon, and probably I believe we've already started, some of the biggest persecution will come from those who sat in our churches, never accepted the Word of God as the Word of God, raised in it all their lives, and now want to walk away because they do not like the preaching of the Word of God that says, this is sin, this is wrong, you cannot walk in this and still be a believer. It was the group of people, it was the sons and daughters and grandchildren of people who've been raised, they've been raised in church all their lives. But they've said, we've had it. There's nothing in this for me. This gospel has no power, has no authority. It says, I can't have this, I can't do that, I can't go where I want to go, I can't be who I want to be, I can't do what I want to do. And those were the people who were screaming. They were throwing rocks. They had baseball bats and guns in their hands. They were throwing threats at those of us who were coming out of the church. And the anger was led once again by those who had fallen away. And I do believe that people can fall away from the Lord. I believe in backsliding. Those were the people who were pushing back against everything they'd been taught. Those that have gone away to college, those away that have become very, very liberal in all they think and all they do, those who have given in to some of the ideas of the protest movements that we're seeing today and the ideologies that we're seeing today, the ideologies that say that one race is better than others. The thing I saw about the pastors who were preaching, they were of every race and color. I saw black and I saw white. I saw Native American. I saw Indian. I saw African. I saw Russian. I saw everybody. I saw Chinese. I saw people who were preaching the gospel. I'm not the only one. But I'm telling you what I saw. Because the biggest persecution that came from the people who had walked away from the church. And then I saw pulpits being chopped up with axes. The big old style wooden pulpit. I saw them being just chopped to pieces. I saw plexiglass pulpits being hammered. I saw Christians in chains. I saw them publicly ridiculed, and I saw them publicly assaulted because their ideas were old-fashioned and needed to go. And then I heard a cry that I've heard for 6 months, but there was something added to it. I heard, brace yourself and endure to the end. And just like that, I woke up. I woke up, my heart was racing. Because I saw people that I knew. I saw missionary friends of mine on the foreign field. I saw pastor friends. I saw district leaders and officials from states that I know who were being attacked by those wolves while they preached the gospel and held to that standard of the Word of God. And they would not back down. And I saw the intensity in their eyes and the fight of their faith because of what they were dealing with and facing at that very moment. I saw it was laid out. And I share this because I want those that, like I said, there's been almost 11,000 views of that video I showed of the three dreams I had. I never asked for that. I never wanted that. I just wanted to get a message out because I felt God gave me something, show me something for the church and those that might be lost and need to hear it. But I'm telling you this right now, this is to the church. This is to pastors. This is to missionaries. This is to those people who believe the Word of God is the Word of God without any, you know, there's too much compromise in the gospel right now. And I believe the Lord is showing me that some of the biggest persecution we're going to face is going to come from within the church itself, not from the lost, not from Muslims, not from protesters. It's going to come from people who sat in our churches and refused to listen to the truth of the Word of God. And they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and Romans 1 comes out to play right here and right now. Sean King and others are calling for all the statues of white Jesus. Jesus was Jewish. He wasn't white. But his blood covers everyone's sin. His message gives every race, every color, every creed hope. So to my pastor friends, I say, get with it. Don't stop preaching the hard gospel. Don't stop preaching the Word of God and the full gospel behind it. And there is going to be a price that we pay for it. It's going to bring some need for endurance in our lives. But if we can't endure now, then what we've been preaching has been a lie all the time. God's calling us to the forefront, men and women of God. Preachers, get on your knees. Get in your secret place. Get in your prayer closet. Hear from God and preach what He says. Say what He says. Declare the message He gives you. And do not stand down. No matter what it costs. No matter what it does to you or your family. Brace yourself and endure to the end.
Wrestled in the darkness of this lonely pilgrim land, raising strong and mighty fortresses that I alone command. But these castles I've constructed.
protected by the strength of my own hand. I just temporary kingdoms on foundations made of sand. In the middle of the battle, I believe I finally found. I never know.
Welcome back to Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. This is Eben, and we just listened to a fire by Pastor Dana. He's in the U.S. He's an Assemblies of God pastor. And basically, you know, the things he was talking about, I've said some in the last few editions, last week or last 2 weeks or so, where I'm saying that the persecution that's coming, the Christians, from people who are in the church, former Christians, will be the ones who persecute us most. I've said it a number of times here. And basically, That's exactly what he's talking about. The Lord showed him. And that's the reality of things that are bound to come. I mean, he's not the only one seeing these things. The Lord has been giving lots of warnings to other people and all. And I believe as Christians, you have a lot of lessons to learn from this. And the fact that prayer, I believe, is one of the key things he expressed and talked about. Because these are the times you need to pray for our pastors a lot. Praying for our leaders is very, very, very important at this crucial time. Praying for ourselves, praying for our churches, praying for our members, you know. Because if we don't intercede and stand in the gap for churches, for pastors, for members, then the attacks will be higher. Because the truth is, in every church, you have these people he talked about. The wolves type will be there. Because in every church, you have people who are not serious. You have people who just come around, hang around. As church being just a social gathering, they just come to please their conscience. So not really, no transformed life, as it were. They just come for coming sick. You see, so all these people are in churches. And there are also some who will be okay, correct Christians, but under the circumstances that, will perceive or will be happening in those times, difficult times and all that, will also fall away if they are not strong enough, or they also lose their guard. So the bottom line is the fact that prayer is something we should really step up as Christians. Prayer is something we should step up as Christians. And another thing we need is discernment. Because, see, when the devil is present and you can't discern, the devil is with you. That's a big issue. You know, he talked of the fact that the wolves were sitting beside. But, you see, these are also the unserious Christians. So they have no discernment. They can't even know something is wrong. They can't perceive something is wrong. And the fact that we lack discernment, people lack discernment, so the devil is also having a free way in the church or in churches. And I believe these are the... You see, discernment is also linked to the word of God. Because the more of the word we have in us, the more we can also know and discern things based on it. And I believe these are the things we should look out for, because we should grow. That's why we should grow quickly in the Lord. We should grow. The word of God is so critical. And the more we have the word in us, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So you see, the word of God enables us to discern spiritual things. And so we need it. We need the word of God critically. And these are the things we look out for as to grow ourselves along these lines. We have to grow. And then you see, for those who are not comfortable when sin is being talked about, you, if you are not careful, you fall into this category of the wolves deceiving you and pushing you out of the church. Because you see, we've gotten to a point where Christians have become comfortable with sin and are no longer interested in hard messages, as it were. It's very unfortunate that some pastors have even been compromised in the sense that they don't want to offend people. So they've also become motivational speakers, just encouraging people and making people feel good in their sense. And it's very unfortunate, because the truth has to be said. The message has to be declared as it is. And I like one thing he ended with, the fact that pastors should wait on the Lord and preach what he has asked them to preach, or preach what he wants them to preach. Because a few weeks ago, I heard of one warning from the Lord through one man of God, where he said, we've gotten to the point where pastors who refuse to preach or to teach or to preach what he, God, is instructing them through the Holy Spirit to teach, he will rule them out and just forget about them. Because what is the use of you being a man of God, and you are on your own, you preach and teach what you want to teach, not what the Holy Spirit is leading you to teach. Because God knows the hearts of people, and the sheep are for him. So feeding the sheep should be based on what he prescribes for them. So if you are going to lead them according to your own ways and feed them according to your own strategies, then he will just leave them. You just leave them for you, and you give account for them, because he came to die for them. You didn't come to die for them. So everything should be based on his standard, his requirements, not your requirements. And there are a lot of pastors who are preaching things which God has not laid on their hearts to preach. They just feel that this is what the people need, so let me tell them what they need. But you can run into error, because you can end up being on the other side of God's anger, because clearly God is not happy with that. We should go the way he wants us to go, not our own way. And finally, before Brother Yao joins us, your foundation as a believer is very critical, because if you don't have a strong foundation, the slightest wind will take you off your feet. The slightest wind. It's just like the parable Jesus talked of, building on the sand and building in the rock. Those who build in the sand, when the storms come, their buildings will collapse. Their Christian life will collapse. Because you see, if it's all based on a feel-good gospel, a feel-good Christianity, and just feeling good, the fact that you're a Christian, that's all. I mean, you just feel good to be a Christian. Clearly, you will not stand the test of time. And these are the warnings we should look at. And we are going to talk about a few things. I think he'll be calling us soon to join this program. You know, the program is Issues of Life. I'm Eben, and Brother Yao is in Accra today, so he's joining us via phone. Should be calling anytime soon to join the feed. Okay.
The 12 of you walked on the earth together. The Father was a brother to you all. The teaching that you heard was the living word. The wonders and the miracles you saw. There were times of awesome inspiration. There were times you didn't understand. When he had to go and you felt alone, it must have been so hard to see his plan.
Hello, Reverend. Good evening, sir.
Thanks.
By the grace of Christ Jesus, we're doing well. What of you too, sir?
By his grace, we have life.
I give glory to Christ Jesus.
Okay, I believe you are listening, or you've listened to the file already, because I sent it to you last week, no, earlier in the week, I believe, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I thank
you. We're listening, and I'm here with Brother Kwesi Miracle and Brahima. We're also listening to you live via TuneIn as well.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
Yes. So let me say a very good evening to each and everyone doing the listening this evening on Spirit FM. We thank God for this particular message. And as you stated earlier, those who have actually been listening to us on this particular radio station, that is Issues of Life program, Saturday 8 to 10. These things, the brother in Christ, the man of God, talked about, it will not be anything new to them. It's not going to be anything new unto them. But we give glory to Christ Jesus. You know, there are a lot of points I saw about the message the brother gave or the man of God gave.
Yeah.
So we'll try and touch on them left, right, center. We saw that it ended, he said, the Lord said, raise up yourselves and endure to the end.
Yeah.
We'll be reading something to that effect. He said something that he was surprised at the persecution he saw. So then I can see that he has been part of us also having the notion we're going to go away before the persecution comes.
Yeah.
So when he saw this, he was a bit surprised. We'll be cross-checking from the word to let people see we should not be surprised because we've been warned enough in the word of God. And when he was about starting, he said something. He said, judge what I'm about to see.
Yeah.
This is what God said we should do. We are told to judge according to the word of God. We'll be checking on that one too. And he saw the wolves. They were lying. We will cross-check in the word of God and we'll get to know. Jesus talked about wolves. He's talking about false prophets. So this wolves and the man, that who is that black man? Definitely Satan who is going to incite false prophets to now come at us, the church. For now, they are hanging around with us, seeing nothing wrong. By the time it's coming, they're going to be incited to come against us full time. And he saw also, in the midst of the wolves coming, he said they were zealous. And they were preaching against them. They were preaching holiness, righteousness, repentance. And we'll be going into the word of God, Old and New Testament, and we'll make it clear since time immemorial. The standard of nothing is about repentance, repentance, repentance. Then also, he saw the courtrooms and the judges. The good Lord Jesus has already told us, we've been warned. He saw them. And this is what the word of God have also said unto us. We're going to read it. We're going to appear before judges. We're going to go into prisons. We've been told about this. And also, when they were warned, they did not stop preaching in a dream. We're going to the Bible to see, are we supposed to please men? Are we supposed to please God? Then also, they had boldness in the midst of they being beaten by the wolves and others. He said, you'll be preaching and you'll be pushing one wolf here. You will bite the hand. Some of them, the men of God, like the wolves, will bite them onto the floor by yesterday. They are preaching. This is what is going to happen. And we're going to look into the word of God to talk about all this. Everything he saw is biblical. We do not believe his dream. We believe his dream is coming to confirm the Bible. It's not because of his or her dream. We believe very much in dreams, in visions, in revelations. But if he comes to confirm the word of God, we accept it. But if he comes and is contrary to the word of God, it doesn't matter whoever got that message, we cannot accept it. Because on the day of judgment, it's the word of God that's going to judge us. So you don't come giving me dream vision about end time, which is contrary to the word of God. You expect me to swallow it. You expect the children of God to swallow it. We cannot do that. Now, let's start. He said, brace up yourselves and endure to the end. Jesus Christ has told us this, but it's just that we don't want to listen to it. Let's go to see in the word of God. Let's go to see Matthew. We're reading straight away. We don't need to explain much. Today we just do a lot of reading from the word of God. Let's look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. We're reading from verse 9 straight up to verse 13. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9 up to verse 13. And I read, this is Jesus talking. Then shall they deliver you up. That is when you look at, he talked about the earthquakes, the wars, the rumors of war, the pestilence, the famines, and the others. He said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. And he gets to verse 9. He said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. They shall deliver you, afflicted, shall be killed, and you shall be hated of all nations for my sake. He said, and then shall many be offended. The people in the church, they were offended. He said, and shall betray one another. They got anointed. And shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. The wolves that came into the church, sat by the lukewarm people, incited them. He said, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He said, these were people who stood in the church. They were brought up in the church. They sat in the church. But their love ran cold. Then the verse 13 says, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So this is just by summary. What he said, the Lord said, brace up yourself. Endure to the end. This is Matthew chapter 24, 9 to 13, just confirming what our brother, our man of God, just said. This is Bible. As to whether you tell me you believe it or you don't believe it, that is my baptism. Now let's go to the persecution. He said he was surprised. But I just want to tell him you should not be surprised. And all of us who are surprised about this kind of things, which is coming, we should not be surprised. Jesus said it in John chapter 15. John 15. Let's read from verse 19 down. We're getting up to verse 21. He said, if ye were of the world will love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I have said unto you, that the servant is not greater than his Lord. And if they have persecuted me, they will persecute you also. And if they have kept my shame, they will keep your shame too. Let me ask you, how was Jesus persecuted? Crucified, killed, beaten, tortured, in cruelty, insult. This is what Jesus passed through. And Jesus is saying we are also going to pass through the same thing. So why is somebody trying to say for me, I'm going in before them? It doesn't apply. Verse 21 says, but all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Jesus is saying, because of his name, you are going to be persecuted, to be hated. This is what he has told us. So we should not be surprised about it. Let's go to John chapter 5, verse 16. John chapter 5, verse 16. Let's look at the word of God. And therefore, did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he has done this on the Sabbath day? They did not know the Lord of Sabbath. Jesus was there. They did not know Jesus had come to rectify the Sabbath. Because they did not understand the word of God, they thought Jesus had committed a sin. They wanted to fight for God, to kill Jesus. And in the same way, as we're standing for the word of God, interpreting the word of God left to right center, and we are obeying what the good Lord says. When you preach anything which is contrary to what we have believed in time immemorial, and you preaching the correct thing, they want to slay you. It happened to Jesus. The same thing is going to happen to us. Let's go to the same John, chapter 8, verse 59. John chapter 8, verse 59. He said, then took they up stones to cast at him, that's Jesus. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them. So he passed away. Here also they wanted to stone Jesus Christ. For what wrong? For teaching the word of God. John chapter 30, John 10. Let's look at verse 31. John chapter 10, verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. So this consistently, they wanted to slay Jesus. Not because he went to stone, not because he insulted anybody, not because he did anything bad, but because he was standing for the word of God. And this is what Jesus said, since they did it to you, him, they're going to do it to me and you. But sadly, majority of us who are children of God, who supposed to know better, we don't want to accept this truth because it is very painful. Let's look at John chapter 11, verse 57. John 11, verse 57. Now, both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he was, he should show it that they might take him. They wanted to arrest Jesus. Reverend, a time is coming. We're going to be arrested.
But I started in Ghana.
Yes, they're going to look for us. Some of the pastors, the Gota region, men of God, they are there. Even and even Kumasi.
Yeah, some too are in Accra.
Accra, Kumasi, we also have seen Saxtel. They are pushing to court left and right. But you see, a time is coming, they're going to come after us. We said this about 2-3 weeks ago. A time is coming, you're going to lose your property. Because they will come after you. They will tell people, look for this boy. Look for this man. Look for this woman. Look for this person. He is dangerous to society. Not because you've done anything bad, but because you are preaching the word of God. John chapter 13, verse 16. John 13, let's look at verse 16. Verse 16 says, this is Jesus. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent greater than he that sent him. Jesus is saying, the same way he passed through, we're going to pass through. This is the word of God. Let's look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 10, verse 24. I'm just reading some verses about persecution. Matthew chapter 10, verse 24. Matthew 10, 24. This is Jesus. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. This is Jesus Christ talking. Unless you don't want to live a holy or a righteous life, but if you're going to live a holy and righteous life, they are going to persecute you. Let's look at 2 Timothy. I don't have much time. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's look at verse 12. This is the word of God. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The reason why majority of Christians are not suffering persecution is that we are not living godly. We are living like the sinners. They see us to be their counterparts, their climate. But if truly, supposing you are in a job, everybody is taking a bribe. You say, I won't take it, I'll report it. What do you think will happen? Your boss is taking it, your subordinates are taking it. You are in between, you say you won't take it. What do you think will happen? You'll be sacked. So surely you face persecution, unless you are not standing for the truth. Everybody is stealing. Everybody is cheating. Everybody is lying. You say no. Your boss will not feel comfortable. Those beneath you will not feel comfortable with you. So for the persecution, the Lord God Almighty Christ Jesus told us, is going to come. In Matthew chapter 5, when you read from 10 up to 12, Matthew 5, 10 up to 12. Let's go and read that one. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 up to verse 12. He said, blessed are ye. He said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before them. It is persecution that makes you get a great reward in heaven. But sadly, people who claim they want to go and take crowns and titles in heaven are running away from persecutions and tribulations. It is sad. What the Lord Jesus has said is going to bring us the crowns and the glory in heaven. We say we don't want it. Let's look at Matthew again, chapter 10, 22 and 23. Matthew chapter 10, verses 22 and 23. This is Jesus talking. And ye shall be hated of all men. He didn't say some. All men. What will happen that all men will hate us? That time is coming. At the reign of the Antichrist, when the God of the world, the Antichrist, comes and the whole world accepts him, they are all obeying his laws. And you claim you're going to stand for Jesus. You become an enemy of your region, the enemy of your state, the enemy of your country, the enemy of the world. That is when all, as we speak now, this is like China, like Kuwait, like Iraq, like Saudi Arabia, Christians are hated. But in Ghana like this, we are not hated that way. Mm-hmm. We've not seen any hatred in Ghana. But time is coming, it's going to be worldwide. That will be at the reign of their king and the Antichrist. He said, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But ye that endure it to the end shall be saved. Have we seen the endurance again? Mm-hmm. He said, but when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over all the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. This is what is going to happen in the great tribulation. As they are persecuting us, we'll be running from place to place, place to place. And as we are going, we'll be preaching the gospel. And that is what will take the gospel to everywhere in the world. Because it is persecution which has always moved the gospel. Mm-hmm. Read Acts chapter 7 and chapter 8. When Jesus Christ said, when the Holy Ghost come, go to all the world. When the Holy Ghost came, they decided to stay only in Jerusalem. And the Lord allowed them Saul to start with the persecution. The Bible said those who were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. So for our information, the greatest tribulation is going to be bring the greatest evangelistic move ever the world has ever witnessed.
Final revival.
Final revival. That is why he said, then the gospel will be preached unto all the world and the end will come.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. So it is this great tribulation that is going to bring it. Now let me leave those ones aside. Let me just read another scripture to that effect. This is Jesus talking. John chapter 16. Let's read from verse 1 down. John 16, 1 down. This thing have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended, that they will put you out of the synagogue. Yea, a time cometh, that whosoever killeth you thinketh he doeth God a service. And this thing they will do unto you, because they have not known me nor the Father. But this things have I told you, that when the time comes, ye will remember that I have told you so. This is Jesus. The time is coming, they're going to kill you, thinking they are working for me. And the reign of the Antichrist will be the God of the world, is going to be accepted. So they will be killing in his name. Jesus said, when this time comes, don't be offended. This time have not come and people are saying we're going to be raptured. To where? This is Jesus who is coming to rapture, telling us what must happen before he comes. And now the church is trying to run away from it. Now let's move to this area. He talked about we should judge it. Yes, we're supposed to judge everything. We need to judge it. We have the right to judge it as children of God. In Acts chapter 17, let's look at verse 11 and 12. Let's verse 10 and 11. Acts chapter 17 from 10 down. He said, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. He said, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. He said, therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable men, which were Greeks, and men, not a few. Have you seen? These people, can you imagine, every day I say, can you imagine Apostle Paul preaching? Then people will listen to the preaching. Now they go and they call their brethren, they say, sit down, let's compare what Paul taught, whether it was correct.
We are too known.
We are too known, Papa.
Hey.
We are too known. Who create degree?
Work
Bible first degree. Work Bible school. Question theology. Question demonology. Who have been doing all the more by compare software scripture? But these people were commended. Who says we cannot judge? Let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. We're supposed to judge everything that comes. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. He said, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they be of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. The only way you can try them is to try them in the word of God. It is the word of God that is going to confirm whether they belong to God or they do not belong to God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 29. Those who say we cannot judge. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. I hope I got this scripture correct. Okay, yes. He said, let a prophet speak, two or three, and let the other judge. So even after the prophets have spoken, we are going to judge. How do you judge it? You judge it in the word of God. But sadly, Christians are saying, we cannot judge majority of us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, if we can judge or not. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's look at verse 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. We claim we have the Holy Spirit. And people full of the Holy Spirit, are we not spiritual? And the Bible says, he that is spiritual judges all things. So why is it that you claim to me you have a Holy Spirit, you speak tongues, left, right, center, but you are telling me I cannot judge? Which kind of spirit is that? We are allowed to judge. we are allowed to get. I don't have much time. When you have time, also read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 to 5. 1 Corinthians 6, even 1 to 6. Talking about, we should be able to judge on issues that come among us. We should not go before the lawyers and the people who do not believe. He said, don't we know we are going to judge angels? But finally, on judgment, let's listen to what the Lord God Jesus Christ said. If they say we cannot judge. In John chapter 7, 24. John 7, 24. This is Jesus talking. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Did Jesus say we should not judge? No. Jesus said judge what? Righteous judgment. And what is righteous? Apart from the word of God, nothing is righteous again. So judge righteous judgment means use the word of God to test it. So why is it that we are testing issues? Many are annoying. Now, the man saw that there were wolves. The wolves there, for that one I can say, the wolves stand for false prophets. Let's look, go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Matthew chapter 7. Let's look at verse 15. So the wolves that the man saw are the false prophets. He said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So the wolves there represent false prophets.
Yeah, anyhow, they also represent the demonic activities too.
That is it.
Yeah.
The false prophet, they are coming to attack the church. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when they come, they will infect the people within the church who are meek, the people who are not listening. They will bring the wrong doctrine, because when you see that, when the wolves they came to sit by the people, and they incited the people, and then the people now began to agitate before the false prophets also started to attack. So they will bring in their wrong doctrine. And let's pick these other verses as well. Let's look at John chapter 10, verse 11 and 12. John chapter 10, verse 11 and verse 12. John 10, 11 and 12, and I read, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. So the wolf represents false prophets. Many of us, when we see false prophets, because they are big, they have a lot of congregation, a lot of followers, a lot of titles, a lot of power. So when we see them, we want to run. But Jesus said, if you are correct sheep, a correct destiny, you must put your life down. Let's look at Acts. Acts chapter 20, 28 to 30. Acts chapter 20. Let's look at 28 to 20. Acts chapter 20, and I read, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and unto all the flocks over which the Holy Ghost have made the overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and will not spare the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. So Paul is also here calling the false prophets grievous wolves. So the wolves that man went to scatter, that wolves represent the false prophets. Let's look at, when you have time, please read the scriptures. Let me give this scriptures. Matthew chapter 10, 16 to 23. Matthew 10, 16 to 20. Let me just read that one. Let me see if I can read that one. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 to 23. Matthew 10 from 16 down. Behold, let's start. Let's even read verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves. This is what Jesus Christ is saying. I send you forth in the midst of them, they are wolves, the false prophet. When you have time, please read down. Luke also chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, 1 to 3. Luke chapter 10. Let's look at verse 1, 2, 3. Let's listen to what the word of God says. He said, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and send them 2-2 before his face into every city and a place, and whither he himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, the laborers are few. Pray therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send in forth laborers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. A false prophet. They are wolves. Now, this is what the Lord Jesus has said. And now the black man, who was the black man who went to incite them? Let's look at Revelation chapter 12. That was Satan himself going to incite them, beating them. You know, he has given them a full day. So he said first, the wolves were lying down. They were feeling okay. You know, Satan has given them food, given them position, given them people, so now they are enjoying it. But time is coming. He's going to take his pan of flesh on them. That is when he will start creeping them. He will want to put them to full use. You cannot come and eat his food and go. As people have been saying, there is nothing like free lunch. Let's look at Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. We start from verse 7. Revelation chapter 12 from verse 7. And there was war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. And he prevailed not. Neither was there a place found for him anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world, and was cast down into the earth. Satan has not come on earth as a human being. Remember, the one and only true living God, Jesus Christ, came on earth as a human being. A time is coming, Satan will come in a human form, the same way our God also came. And that is going to be the reign of the Antichrist. So he continued. He said, who deceived the whole earth? He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a voice saying in heaven, now cometh salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down. Now the accuser, he was in heaven, accusing people. He is now being cast down to the people he has been accusing. What do you think the wrath he will be bringing with? He said, which accused them before our God day and night. Now he knows he cannot accuse you again. So what must he do? He must come physically. Then he continued in verse 11. He said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. This is the key we can also hold here on earth. First of all, the blood of the Lamb. Second, the word of the testimony. That is the word of God, living totally in holiness inside us. Then thirdly, we must be ready to die. This is how the angels were able to overcome Satan. Then he continued in verse 12. He said, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. And woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that his time is short. This is where the problem is. Now Satan know, even every time I've been saying this, even in the time of Paul, which was about 2,000 years ago, which we were not closer to the kingdom of God like today. Look at what he did to Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, from verse 23 down to 28, what Paul said, but that time 2,000 years ago, and now that Satan has been thrown down, and he knows he has a short time, he knows Jesus is about to rapture his church, and now he is coming. Which kind of wrath do you think he's coming with?
Last attempt.
Because he knows now he cannot accuse you before God. All he can do is to let you go contrary to the word of God. That is all. So every force he must master, he's going to master. That is why when you, the same Revelation chapter 12, when you read that, you go to verse 17. Verse 17 said, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. The woman is Israel. The remnant of her seed is Israel, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The entire world, let me ask, which people have the testimony of Jesus Christ?
Christians.
Is it not Christians?
Yeah.
So if the dragon threw down, is going to have remnant with the going to make war with the remnant of the woman, Israel, and those with the testimony of Jesus Christ. Why are Christians trying to escape? And that is what the Revelation chapter 12 ended in verse 17. Then the plan, the strategy he wanted to use was now in verse chapter 13. That is where the Antichrist comes. Then you get to the verse 7. Revelation chapter 13, that is when the Antichrist, the plan that he wanted to make the war against the remnant of the woman and those who have the testimony of Jesus, was what was put in place in Revelation chapter 13. I don't have much time, so I wouldn't go into that place. I don't have much time for now. Okay, let me go and read just someone. So Revelation chapter 12 ends in verse 17. Whereby he said the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and had the testimony of Jesus. Now let's go to 13. 13, 1 and 2 say, and I stood upon the sea, the son of the sea, and saw a beast rise out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his head the crown, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. Verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet was like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like of a lion. And the dragon, that is Revelation chapter 12, the dragon who was coming after the woman, and the dragon, that Satan, gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. So now God manifested in a human form in the person of Jesus Christ to save. Satan is manifesting in the person of the Antichrist to come and destroy the people Jesus said he came to save. This is what is going to happen. Then he get to verse 7. Verse 7 says, let's start from verses. And he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God. Satan will never be speaking against God. He knows who he is. He wouldn't be speaking against Jesus. But every time you want to cause problem for man, so he will use man. And once you do it, he will go and stand somewhere so that you face your judgment with God. He said, God, I did not even insult you, but you see what this man did. He said, and to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Saint means most holy, righteous. Jesus Christ will not come and rapture his church and leave saints behind. Then who did he rapture? Jesus Christ will not come and rapture his church and leave the most holy. He made war with the saints and overcame them. Mm-hmm. We're going to be given into the hands of the saints. As to whether you like it or not, it's not going to change anything.
Yeah, Daniel said the same thing.
Who incited them? And now, this is one thing I like about it. He said they were zealous preaching, and they were preaching against sin.
Yeah.
This is how it is supposed to be. From Old Testament, when you read Isaiah chapter 1, when you read from verse 2 down to verse 4, then you continue from verse 16 to 20, 2 down to verse 4, he said, I've brought up children, they've risen up against me. And he compared human beings to animals. His lovely city, Israel. Israelites, God comparing them to animals. And saying the animals are doing better. Any child of God living in sin, you are compared to an animal before God. And God knows the animal does better. It's not me who said it. Maybe people will say, what is this young man saying? Let's read it. Isaiah chapter 1. Let's look at from verse 2 down. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2 down. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up a children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel do not know me, nor do not consider. God is comparing human being to an ox, human being to an ass, and saying the ox and an ass is doing better. And let's listen. When God got annoyed, he got to verse 16. He said, wash you, make you clean, put away your evil doing from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Please the cause of widows. He said, come now and let us reason together. Say yes, the Lord. Though your sins be as colored, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. God has always been preaching about repentance. So you see that in the midst of the persecution, they were preaching repentance. And that is what we're supposed to preach. Because in Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 13. Let's look at verse 13. All the old time prophets, Jeremiah 26:13. Therefore now amend your wish and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God. And the Lord will repent him of the evil which he has purported or pronounced against thee. This is the messages all the prophets have been preaching. And that is what he saw himself preaching. And that is how it's supposed to be. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 6. Ezekiel 14, verse 6. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus says the Lord, repent and turn yourself from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. Old Testament people, all the prophets who came. And now let us come to the New Testament and see whether maybe they change the message in Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 down. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repentance. Jesus Christ also came to preach to Matthew chapter 4, 17. Matthew 4, 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. This is what Jesus Christ also preached. Let's look at the apostles. Acts chapter 2, verse 37, 38. Acts chapter 2, 37 and 38. He said, now, when they had heard, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. When he checked the word of God, in the book of Acts, chapter 17, 30, 31, Paul said, repent. God said, all men should repent. Even in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, Revelation 2, verse 5, Revelation 2, 16, Revelation 2, 16, Revelation 2, 21, Revelation 2, 21, Revelation 3, verse 3, Revelation 3, verse 3, Revelation 3, 19. All Jesus Christ said, repent, repent. Why don't we want to repent? He saw the courtrooms, and we've been told, we will come before the courts. Yes, in Revelation chapter 2, Revelation. Let's look at chapter 2, verse 10. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Fear none of the things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. It is the devil. And ye shall be tried. And you will have tribulation then 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'm going to give you a crown. Luke 21, verse 12 and 13. Luke chapter 21, verses 12 and verse 13. Luke 21. 12 and 13. But before all these things, they shall lay hands on you and shall persecute you, delivering you up in the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. That is all he saw. The hammer was hitting, bang, 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 bang. That is all the word of God have told us. And now, when they were sent there, they were told, do not preach again. When you read Mark chapter 13, verse 9, it's also there about we coming before kings. Now they were told them, do not preach about this. Do not say Jesus Christ is the only way. Do not preach about sin. The same way now they say no mask, no entry. They are not coming to give them the constitution. If truly you want to go to church, then do not preach these messages. And I know majority of them are going to follow. But for we, when you read Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, Galatians 1, verse 10, Paul said, if I yet be a pleaser of men, I cannot be a servant of God. If you please politicians, kings, you cannot be a servant of God. In Acts chapter 4, verse 19, Acts chapter 4, verse 19, they told them, do not preach again. They said, do we have to obey you or we obey God? Are we saying we are more respectful? We are more respectful than apostles? In Acts chapter 5, 29, Acts chapter 5, 29, they preached the same way. They told them, do not preach again. They said, no, we're going to preach. What did Jesus say about loving your father and your mother more than him? The president, the politicians, the kings, they are our fathers, they are our mothers. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10, 37. Matthew 10, 37, Jesus. He said, he that loveth his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth his president, the kings, the politicians more than him, cannot be a servant of Jesus Christ. Then in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, he said, pray for us so that we can open our mouth boldly and preach the gospel. Pray for us, we can open our mouth boldly. And also in Acts chapter 4, 29-30, he said, when they have been whipped, they told them not to preach. They prayed to God, grant unto us boldness to preach the message, and the Lord did that. So whatever our brother saw, it comes to confirm the Bible. Great persecution is coming. Great tribulation is coming. First of all, you must believe it is coming.
Yeah.
Secondly, you must accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. Live in total holiness, inside out. Then let us leave the rest to Jesus. He's going to help us. Reverend, yeah. May the good Lord bless all of us. And God willing, next week, by the grace of God, I'll be there. For those of them who have internet, to God willing, just gone. We are in Accra. We are on this radio station. They should tell their friends in Accra. How do we call it? Rainbow Radio. We are on Rainbow Radio in Accra. That is 87.5. 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Every Sunday. In Accra, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. We're on Rainbow Radio. That is July, August, September. Every Sunday, we're going to be on. So they should tell your friends
and
to
the
listen.
Frequency. What's the frequency?
87.5 megahertz in Accra. 87.5. And also, by the grace of Christ Jesus, Modern Ghana, Morning Ghana, when they go to the radio stations, by the grace of God, we now have an internet radio. We are streaming some messages and some music, cool music there, gospel, English tree, and also messages, English tree. That is, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Is there an internet radio on Modern Ghana? When they go to modernghana.com, modernghana.com, when they get to their radio station, they should search for Jesus is the answer, and we are streaming there. So, brethren, may the good Lord be with us. If they want godly messages to listen through WhatsApp, we are available. We can send some to them free of charge on this number, 0204-200-444. Brethren, yeah. May the good Lord Jesus continue to be with you as you also continue here. Amen.
Amen. Okay. All right. Yeah, that was Brother Yao Redu. I believe those who listen to this program tonight know that there's a task ahead. As I mentioned earlier, before Yao came in, things to do. We have to pray. We have to get rooted in the Word. We have to intercede for our pastors, pray for ourselves, our friends in church, Christians, and all. You know, these are not the times to be entertaining ourselves. You know, there's a time for everything, according to the Ecclesiastes. There's a time for everything. And when there's a time for war, you don't see any soldier, any serious soldier. When there's a time for war, he says, wait, let me go and watch a football match before I go to the war front. Unfortunately, spiritually, the season has changed. Spiritual warfare has stepped up to another level. But we are having Christians enjoying football and as if there's nothing at stake. We are wasting our time on fruitless things, entertaining ourselves, sports, entertainment, watching TV. You know, we are living carelessly as if there's nothing at stake. But unfortunately, these are not the times to be joking at all as a Christian. These are not the times to be wasting our time. These are the times to equip ourselves spiritually in the Word, in prayer, in meditating on the Word of God, in grounding ourselves. See, unfortunately, we are just wasting our time. We are not setting our priorities right. And eventually, when the time comes, when you look back, we realize that we wasted time. But it's not too late. We have time to make amends. Let's renew our minds. Let's refocus. Let's reorganize ourselves and get serious with spiritual things. These are not times to waste at all. These are not times to just be living casually as if anything goes. No, no, no. We are not in ordinary times, as they say, because of the corona. But spiritual side too, we are not in ordinary times at all. It's even more serious than, I mean, the corona one they are talking about. Spiritually, the season is far, far, far more advanced than what is on the surface. It looks like, oh, all is well. But behind the scenes, all is not well at all. A lot of demonic activity is happening. A lot of shifts in the system, in the spiritual realm. But Christians are living normal, casual lives. Let's change our ways and get serious with these things. The program has been Issues of Life. This is Eben, and you had Brother Yao joining us from Accra. And I think I had a few messages, so I think I'll respond to them. And God willing, next week will be coming your way. This program and last week's edition on the website spiritissues.info, spiritissues.info, and you can listen to it or download it there. Okay, so God willing, next week it will be coming your way. I have this message that says, persecution in the church has started with discrimination between pastors. This pastor will say, my preaching is good, and other say, mine is good. So due to this, some pastors really hate other pastors, always looking for trouble on them. It's no wonder if the persecution will come through falling away Christians. Okay. All right. Other messages, but due to the time. Okay, so good night, and God bless you.